If you would, please turn your Bibles to Acts, the 20th chapter. Acts chapter 20. The title of the message this morning is Aiming to be Missed. In the text of Acts chapter 20, we have a record of a man who was missed, a man who was truly missed. When he left the Ephesian elders, the Apostle Paul let them know that he was not going to be seeing them ever again. And if you'd look with me in verse 36, it says that when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they began to weep aloud and embraced Paul and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the word which he had spoken, that they should see his face no more. And they were accompanying him to the ship. This is a bit of an unusual scene, perhaps, that a preacher is leaving town and people seem to be upset. They're unhappy. that doesn't always happen, but in this case it does. When Paul is leaving, as we're told here, they are especially heartbroken by the fact that they will not see him again. So he's a man that is clearly going to be missed. And so my question to you this morning for our study is, how do you accomplish that? Do you want to be missed when you go? And you are going, by the way. You're either going to go as Paul did and leaving town, moving away, going to another place to live for a time, perhaps not coming back to here again. Or we may leave this life permanently. We may depart from this life, passing away. But we are going. That's not the question. The question is, will we be missed? Do you want to be missed? Well, I want to suggest to you that the Apostle Paul's being missed by these people was the product of determined effort on his part. It didn't just happen. And if you're missed in your family, if you're missed in your church, if you're missed in your community, it's not going to just automatically happen. It's something that we must aim at being missed, at living a life that would have the kind of impact and the kind of influence in the lives of other people that we have come in contact with, that when our presence is no longer being experienced by those people, that there is a sense in their lives of missing something, of missing someone. You know, as you look at this text in Acts chapter 20, there are a few, I believe, elements of living a life like the Apostle Paul lived among these people that are identified that can help us if we aim to be missed. The first thing that I would suggest to you that is indicated here is you look back into the 17th verse and following. And as we review what the Apostle Paul had to say to this group of men, the first thing that we notice is that he acknowledges the role of a manner of living, a manner of life that had been witnessed by these people, that made it so that they were going to miss this man and miss having his influence among them. Verse 17 says that from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews." He tells them, to begin with, that you know how I was with you. You know how I lived among you. You know how I conducted myself. And that's the first element in living a life that is really going to be, that can be missed by other people. It is to allow people to know what manner of life you live, of how you live among them. And I think of particular interest and importance here is what the Apostle Paul has to say about the nature of the life that he lived among them. As you look at verse 19, he says, "Serving the Lord with all humility." If you want to live a life that will truly have an impact upon other people, if you want to live a life in which once you are gone, you'll be missed, my suggestion to you is you live a life of humility in serving the Lord. Look at it again in the way Paul described it. Serving the Lord with all humility. Serving is the way to live a life that will truly be notable and truly be missed by people. What do you... I came across the other day a description from the Guinness Book of Records. You know, probably most of you are familiar with the Guinness Book of Records and how people seek notoriety by gaining admission into that book, by doing something unusual, something unexpected. And I came across the story of this one man, a Frenchman, who eats glass and metal. And he has eaten, since 1966, 10 bicycles, 6 chandeliers, 1 shopping cart. Now, in the last day, I don't know if you can imagine that man being asked, "What had you done with your life?" "I ate 10 bicycles, 6 chandeliers, and 1 shopping cart." Now, that's not a great testimony, I think, to the use of that man's life. Is there not a better way? I mean, when all is said and done and that man is gone, will he be missed? Well, who's going to eat our shopping carts now? I guess some people might ask. But isn't there something more to life? I mean, if I aim to be missed, it seems to me that it's a much more feasible way to accomplish that by seeking to humbly serve. Paul says, "You know how I was with you." Humbly serving. He says that he served in all humility, in tears and in trials. He knew how to become a part of the hurts of others. That's the way to be missed. When those people in Ephesus began to experience hardships and difficulties, they did so with Paul at their side. If you live for yourself and for yourself alone, you're not going to be missed. But if you have lived in such a way in humility of service and have sought to help people in the midst of their tears and in the midst of their trials, and you've stood by them and you've assisted them in every way that you could, you'll be the kind of person who will be missed. Show me a person who can sympathize and empathize, and they can show the compassion of the Lord, and I'll show you somebody who will be missed. The hardships that Paul shared with these people, he describes as being those that were brought upon him and them as the plots of the Jews. There were people that opposed Paul. There were people that were opposed to his way of living, his way of teaching, his way of believing. There's no way to have a life that stands for the Lord. Remember, this is rooted in the notion of humbly serving the Lord. That's how I was with you. You know how I was with you. I was with you humbly serving the Lord. And there is no way to live a life that stands for the Lord and not have opposition. Not have some who are critical. Not have some who will be judgmental about the things that, that you may do. Unless you're willing to have these three things: humility of service to the Lord, facing heartaches and tears, sharing hardships and trials. Unless you're willing to do that, it's going to be very difficult to live a life that's missed when you're gone. But there's a second aspect that Paul speaks of in this text when he talks about his being missed. When he talks about the message of his life, not just the manner in which he lived, but the message that was associated with his life. What was that message? Well, obviously, when we think about Paul and any message associated with his life, we're going to think about the gospel and the gospel that Paul labored to preach. Verse 20 and following, he says, "How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, bound in spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of account as my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." What was the message associated with the life of this man? The message that made this man's life missable. It was the message of the gospel of the grace of God. You got a message? You may say, well, now, David, you know, when you start talking about a message being associated with a person's life, I mean, you're talking about preachers, and I'm not a preacher. Well, that's not entirely accurate. The Bible speaks about people having a message of their life who really are not preachers. I think about Abel and the book of Hebrews. It talks about Abel, though he's dead, yet speaketh. He still speaks. He still has a message. He still has a proclamation by virtue of the life that he had lived. And it's true for you, and it's true for anyone, whether they're preachers or not. There is a message associated to our lives. There's content to our message. You look back in verses 20 and 21 again. He says, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, testifying. Now, clearly what Paul is describing here was the work that he went about doing, proclaiming, teaching. And he says, I didn't shrink from this. And I think most notable, if we're really aiming for a life where we'd be missed, he says, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. Anything that was profitable. Anything that was for your good. The message of the gospel of the grace of God is a message that's profitable. It's profitable to the lives of all men and women. It's profitable to you. It's profitable to me. And those of us who know that message will exert a good influence upon the lives of other people only if we're willing to proclaim that message, to share that message with others. There is conviction in Paul's message, a conviction by which he would not, or from which he would not shrink. In verse 22, he says, now, behold, bound in spirit, I'm on the way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying, bonds of affliction, wait me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Here was a man committed to the message that he had. Well, the message that he had the responsibility of sharing and of declaring to others. And he says everywhere I go, he says, I really don't know what's going to happen to me. But what I do know from the Holy Spirit revealing this to me is that wherever I go, I'm going to face opposition. He was going to face opposition to this message. Anywhere I go, it's going to happen. Well, I want to tell you, that's a man that demonstrates a commitment, a conviction to a message that people are not going to universally accept. There were going to be oppositions to Paul's work wherever he would go. Do you know what's wrong in the lives of a lot of people today? What's missing in the lives of a lot of people? It's conviction. It's conviction. It's the willingness to identify something that is, this is right, and this is what I'm going to stand for. This is what I'm going to live by. A lot of people have opinions today, but they lack convictions. Most of the world would rather live with a compromise than to die with a conviction. The Apostle Paul was a man willing to die. He said, I don't count my life as worth anything. He was willing to die with the conviction that this message about the gospel of the grace of God was truth, and he was willing to go wherever and endure whatever for that message because of his conviction about it. And he was confident then, as a result of that, that he would be, as he expresses it in verses 25 and following, free from the blood of all men. He says, behold, verse 25, and now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. You want to know why Paul was going to be missed so much? It was because he had so fully and faithfully discharged his responsibilities. And he could with confidence say, I'm free of the blood of all men. I'm not responsible for anyone being lost here in Ephesus. I'm not responsible for that because I failed to declare the message of the gospel of the grace of God. I'm free of the blood of all men because I have declared the message. Now, here, just very, very simply, is what I think you and I would be helped by. That if we want, if it is our aim to live a life that will be missed, then we need to have a devotion to the message that so affects the lives of men and women, as the Apostle Paul had. And the third and final thing that we see in the life of this man was what I'll call his mantra. It was his motto for life. He urges them to be on guard against dangers that might come from even amongst themselves. And so he says in verse 31, therefore be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, who is able to build you up to the inheritance among those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. And everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That was the mantra of this man. You want to know why he so influenced the lives of other people? It was because he had acted in such a way that he had made himself a part of their lives. He says, I worked hard. He says, you know that I worked hard to receive the wages that I have received, in order that I could help these men that were with him, men who had labored with him. He had helped provide for them. And everything I showed you, that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's better, or it's more blessed to give than to receive. When they looked at the life of this man, Paul, they saw a man who shared with others. He shared what he had and did so in such a way that it was instructive to others that they would live in the same way. He coveted no man's silver. He was free from idleness or laziness, but he went about working. He was spared from selfishness and living a selfish life because he was willing to share with others. He was willing to give to those who had need. No life is truly great that does not rise above itself, that cares, that shares, that bears the burdens of others. That's the way you live a life that really impacts on others. I think what Paul reminded these folks with that little mantra was that that's what they needed to do. He reminded them it's more blessed to give than to receive. Do you aim to be missed? Would you like to leave here, either this world or this community, this church? At some point in time, you may have to move away and leave your family. When it comes time to go, will you be missed? Well, I want to tell you, if you've lived your life in such a way that you've endeavored to give more than you've endeavored to receive, if you live a life in which you've endeavored to share with others the message of the gospel of the grace of God, if you've lived a life of humble service to the Lord, then you'll be missed. I hope that you're aiming to be missed. The way to begin that, if you're not, is by submitting to that message of the gospel of the grace of God. Living that message, living it out in your life, is the way to be influencing of others and eventually missed by others. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ this day, if you're willing to, in your faith that He is the Son of God, come in repentance of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, being baptized to wash the guilt of your sins away, you'll receive the grace of God. Live a life then of humble service to Him, and He'll reward you with that home in heaven. We pray you'll come to Him as we stand and sing.